your good God, gracious Heavenly Father. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for this evening, Lord. Father, we welcome you in this place. Have your way, Father God. This isn't my service, this is your service, Father God. Oh, that we would have men and women that would let it be your service and not their service, Father. Father, just have your way in this place tonight. Father, speak to us. If you want to change the order of the service, whatever you want, Father, that's what we want. Because, Father, you know what's best for us, Lord. Father, you know what we need more than we know what we need, Father, because you're a good and gracious God, Father, and there's none like you, Father. There's none like you, Father. As I begin to minister, I thank you for strengthening me and quickening me, Father. And more importantly, Father, I want to lift up our pastor to you, Father. And Father, I want to pray that you strengthen him with all might in the inward man, Father God. Though the outward man may be perishing, Father, I pray that that inward man would be renewed day by day by day, Father God. And I pray that, Father God, if you need to send a still small voice, Father, that you send a still small voice, Father, and touch him and strengthen him with all might in the inward man, Father. He might feel faint, he might feel weak in his natural body, but there's an inward man, Father, that's strong, and I pray that he would be sensitive to that as he always is, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and that you would strengthen and encourage him, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, before you strengthen me, encourage him, Father. I prefer the brethren, Lord, and I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm a little bit younger. I can go a little bit longer. Not much longer, but a little bit longer. Hallelujah. We're going to continue talking about the Spirit of the Lord. Can't get away from it right now. And that's not a bad thing, because God is good and God is a Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's important that we realize that God's not some graven image or anything like that. He is the true and living God. We can look at the heavens, and the Bible says the heavens declare his handiwork. We're not dealing with somebody that doesn't exist. We're not dealing with a God who isn't there. We're not dealing with a God who has eyes that see not and ears that have ears that hear not. We're dealing with a God that says, when you cry, I will answer you and I will say, here am I. That is the very God that we are dealing with. We are dealing with a God that when God said, let there be, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth, and the earth was formed. It moved upon the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon us when we were yet in sin, and it convicted us, and it drew us to God, and we're saved because the Spirit of God moved upon our hearts and convicted us. Oh, what a glorious thing it was when we were all saved by the power of the living God. What a glorious thing it was when we were all baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. And if you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire, I pray that there would be a renewing and a rekindling of that spirit, and that fire that's on the inside of you would begin to bubble out of you, would begin to flow out of your belly, as the Word declares, like a mighty rushing river. Because that's exactly what God wants it to do. I had the opportunity this week. I went fishing on Wednesday, as carnal as that is, but God knows how to set up divine appointments. And I got to witness to a Catholic man, and we were on the way to Lake Panasoffkee, and I shared this with some of them earlier, but I'm going to go ahead and share it. And he says, how did you get involved in church? And I said, look, Matt, I'm not involved in church. I'm involved in a man, and the man Christ Jesus. And the Lord just set it up. I says, Matt, I was into drugs. I was into all kinds of things, but the Lord delivered me. The Lord set me free. Jesus saved me. It's not in Catholicism, and it's not in churchism. It's in Jesus. That's who it's in. Me going to church doesn't make me a Christian no more than me sitting in your garage makes me a car. I told him that, and I says, Matt, you'll never know peace until you find Jesus. And I left it at that, and we went fishing, had a good time, wore myself out, and went home. But hey, God knows how to set up divine appointments. God knows how to move, and he's going to set up divine appointments, because the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And the church say, come. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church. We're living in a day where people don't want to necessarily hear what the Spirit has to say. Because the Spirit's going to go against the flesh, and the flesh is going to go against the Spirit. But if we listen to what the Spirit has to say, we won't wind up in the ditch, my brother and sister. We won't wind up defeated, dejected, and feel all alone and cold and callous if we listen to what the Spirit of God has to say. It's important that we must listen. It's important that we have men and women that teach us what the Spirit is saying. John said when he was on the Isle of Patmos, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. When is the last time you've heard a minister get up and say, I'm in the Spirit on the Lord's Day? We see a lot of preaching, but we don't see it preaching in the Spirit. We see it preached in catechism. We see it preached in etiquetteness. We see it preached in a lot of things, but we don't see it preached in the Spirit of power and in demonstration of God's precious Holy Spirit. God's Spirit is moving upon the face of the earth. Just because we don't see it moving doesn't mean it is not moving, my brother and sister. It is moving in China. It is moving across the world. Why? Because God's sweeping this nation and God's sweeping this world, and His Word is true, that everyone's going to have one chance to hear the gospel before the great coming of the Lord. And it's important that we avail ourselves so the Spirit of God can speak to us and through us to a lost and dying world. I'm convinced that we're not sensitive enough to the Spirit of God as we should be. We're sensitive to our emotions and to the needs of our families, but not sensitive to the needs of the Spirit of God. And I'm convinced that we must get sensitive to the Spirit of God again. And we can be walking down the street and the Spirit of the Lord can speak to us. That is the kind of relationship that God Almighty wants with His children and with His church. No, nothing else and nothing less, my brother and sister. I can't preach anything less. I can't talk about anything less than a life that's surrendered to the Spirit of God. That doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. That doesn't mean you're not going to have failures. But what it does mean is when you come to those roads and those failures in your lives, you ask the Spirit of the living God to help you, convict you, and to teach you, and to guide you, and to forgive you. And you let the blood of Jesus cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's important that we allow God's Spirit to speak to our hearts and speak to our minds in these last days. The carnal mind, the Bible says, is enmity against God. How many carnal-minded ministers get behind a pulpit and don't have the mind of Christ? Brother Sean, that's a bold statement. Look, I don't know any other way to put it than to be bold and to be blunt. Sometimes you just need to lay all the cards on the table and just lay it out like it is and say it like it is. I'm convinced that if every man or woman of God was really led by the Spirit of God, there would be different messages behind pulpits. There would be different things taught in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't say the first church of the Baptist, or I didn't say the church of God of Pentecostalism. I said the first church of Jesus Christ. It is time that we get away from I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos, or I'm of this apostle or I'm of that apostle. No, I'm into Jesus, my brother and sister. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The prophets prophesied that Jesus was coming, and He came. I've got to read in Genesis 6:3. You don't have to turn there, but I've just got to read this. Then the Lord said, my Spirit shall not for... And I'm reading out of the Amplified, so it's going to be a little different. Then the Lord said, my Spirit shall not forever dwell and strive with man, for he also is flesh, but his days shall yet be 120 years. The Spirit of God doesn't always strive in man. The King James says. That's a pretty bold statement for God Almighty to say that His Spirit doesn't always strive with man. Well, what does that mean, Brother Sean? It's pretty plain, my brother and sister. Simply means this: God's Spirit isn't always going to draw somebody. God's Spirit isn't always going to call somebody. Thank you for the amen. It is up to God whether He draws. This is up to God's Spirit whether He calls. God's Spirit, if Brother Mike was in sin and backslidden, God's Spirit could call him and could call him and could call him. And Mike could know that Spirit's there and say, not yet. And God's Spirit could call him and call him and call him. And one day Mike could wake up, and that Spirit not call him, and that Spirit not draw him, and Mike's going to be in a whole lot of trouble. Why? Because you can't get saved without the drawing of God's Spirit. Thank you for the amen. You cannot get saved without the drawing of God's Spirit. No, you cannot. I don't care where this tape goes, what ministry it goes to. You have to be drawn by the Spirit of the Lord to be saved. You have to be convicted. You have to be known that you have to be realized that you're a sinner. You're in darkness and you need a great light. And that light is Jesus Christ. That is exactly why we need the Spirit of God in the Church of Jesus Christ today. And we need the Spirit of God in our lives and in our hearts today. When I came here at 4 o'clock today, I was tired. I'm not going to lie. I've been up since 1 o'clock in the morning. But I said, Lord, You're faithful and You are so faithful. You've never let me down. And I feel the energy of His Spirit right now. But when this Spirit lifts, I'm going to be on my way home. And my daughter's going to have to just keep tapping me so I don't fall asleep driving. But you know what? I didn't want the doors to shut tonight because I want the doors open, because I want God's Spirit to be able to convict a life that's lost. I want God's Spirit to be able to draw. If somebody walks in this building to be able to be saved, I want them to be able to be drawn by God's Spirit. It's important that we allow God's Spirit to speak to us, to speak to our family members. Even though they may not listen, you never know what the Spirit of God might have you say. You never know what the Spirit of God just might do in your life and in their life. God's Spirit is amazing. And it's time that we start treating His Spirit like it's amazing. He's a gentleman. God's Spirit's a gentleman. He's not going to override us. He's going to come to us and He's going to woo us. And He's going to draw us. He's going to convict us. And He's going to ask for things in our lives, for things for us to give up and things for us to keep. There are some things God's Spirit will ask you to give up. Thank you for the amens, the two amens I got. But you know why? Because we get convicted when God's Spirit gets around, because we all know we could live a little bit better. We could all live a little bit closer to Jesus. We could all pray a little bit more. And hey, this comes to me just as I'm not up here pointing a finger. I'm in this with you guys. That's what makes it so difficult sometimes. I don't know why He chooses me, but He does. Because He knows I'm going to say it no matter what. I've made a covenant with God that if He ever chose to use me, I'm going to speak whatever He gives me to speak, no matter where I'm at. I remember a time I got to minister for John and Barbara Hughes at the mission field, and I didn't know nothing about them. I didn't know they were into everything has a spirit. Didn't know nothing, but the Spirit of God knew. See, the Spirit of God knows things we don't know about people. And that's why you can be talking to somebody and all of a sudden the Spirit of God will drop things in your heart and they'll look at you like you got two heads, like, how did you know that? I didn't know that, but God's Spirit knows it. And it's time we allow God's Spirit to speak to us, because He wants to show this world, He wants to show men, women, boys and girls that He's alive and that He's real. As I was ministering at the mission, it was a powerful message about Jesus. And I remember saying these words. I remember, and I knew nothing about them, didn't know. They just said, would you come and minister? I was 20 years of age, maybe 21 years of age, and went and ministered. And I remember I was in Sherry's bedroom at the time, laying on the floor, getting ready, preparing my heart, preparing myself. And I remember saying these exact words. You know, I know there are people out there in this world today that believe everything's got a spirit. You know, there's spirits and dolls and things. And I knew nothing about it. That was the first and last time I ever was asked to minister again. But hey, I had to obey the Lord. And you know what? That's how God sets things up. It's through His Spirit. See, I would rather know nothing about anybody and let God's Spirit do the convicting. Because see, when it's God's Spirit that does the convicting, things are going to happen. Things are going to get moved out of the way when it's God's Spirit. There can be a wall in the way. There can be a mountain in the way. But the mountain that stands before you shall become as a plain, not by might nor by power, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord. See, God's Spirit, it's very, very important that we get back into the Holy Spirit of God, the very Holy Ghost of God. Yes, I said the Holy Ghost in the 21st century because He's real. I know you don't hear it from many churches and many pulpits, but the Holy Ghost is still real. God still baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. That is the gospel, my brother and sister. That is the pure, whole, unadulterated gospel. You cannot have one salvation without the other. You can, but you won't have the fullness of it. There is a deeper walk. There is a deeper calling. There is a deeper anointing. I'm thankful for the drawing of the Holy Spirit to get saved. But I'm more thankful for the baptism of the Holy Ghost to live for Jesus. He'll give us the power to become His sons and His daughters. So we can't make excuses of why we're defeated, my brother and sister, because God gives us the power to overcome. We have choices in our lives. Why? That is why we're defeated. That is why we fall. Are you pointing the finger, Brother Sean? No, I'm not. I'm just saying God's given us everything we need to overcome. The problem is we got a flesh. Men are led away by their what? Own lust and enticed. Not the devil, but by their own lust when they're enticed. We've seen people come to this church and be examples and be led away by their own lust and enticed. Does that mean God's not strong enough? No, God is strong enough. Those people had a decision to make. We have decisions to make when we're walking through a mall, when we're watching TV. We have decisions to make. And I think it's going to get down to the nitty-gritty of, you know, gas ain't getting any cheaper. Are we going to put gas in our car? Are we going to have a cable bill or a phone bill? It's getting down to the nitty-gritty. It really is. And if it comes to the point, if I got to pay $100 a month for cable or $100 in gas, I'm going to have to give up the cable and have $100 in gas. Because I got to get to work so I can pay my light bill, so I can have nice air conditioning. I'm just telling you. I mean, I know there are people on TV that keep saying that, you know, this high gas thing ain't going to affect God's people. Really? Really? I filled up my truck the other day and it was $70. But it's not going to affect God's people. Not going to affect us. We're in a fallen world. Lot was affected by Sodom and Gomorrah. His righteous soul was vexed. We're going to be affected by the unrighteousness in America. It's going to affect God's people. That doesn't mean we're unrighteous. That doesn't mean we can't have His blessing. But there are things that we cannot control, like the price of gasoline, that is going to affect us. But God's Spirit is so amazing. See, it's getting down to the end. It's coming down to the end, my brother and sister. And it's coming down. God's going to draw a plumb line in the sand and say, who's on the Lord's side? Who's really my child? Who's really wants to be my disciple? Who really wants to follow me? It may get down to where we might have to get like James, Peter, and John and give up everything we have to follow Jesus. And that's okay with me. Because as I grow in the Lord and as God has been wooing me and God has been stirring me in these last few weeks, is I don't need some of the things that I have to be happy. I really, really don't. And you know, the Lord brought something back that I ministered here in this place. I was flipping through some of my notes, and I mean, it just slapped me right in the face and hit me like a ton of bricks. Are you happy? And I began to read the notes, and I began to look up the scripture, and the Lord convicted me and said, all right, son, now live it. I said, okay, Dad, okay. And it's an amazing thing how God's Spirit works. It's an amazing thing. I can be driving down the road, not thinking about no one, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God will drop somebody on my heart and I'll just begin to pray for them. Why? Because God knows and God's Spirit knows better than we do. Paul said, I pray with my understanding and I pray with the Spirit. Why? Because we don't always know what to pray, my brother and sister. We don't always know how to pray. Gas is going up. Lord, how do I pray? How do I pray? You pray in the Spirit, my brother and sister, building yourself up on your most holy faith. How come we never hear about that when people talk about faith? Thank you for the amens. Thank you for the amens. Everybody wants to talk about faith, but nobody wants to talk about praying in the Holy Ghost, building up your faith. That's faith, my brother and sister. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you're dialoguing with God. It's just you and God Almighty talking. When you're praying in the Holy Ghost, the enemy can't interrupt you, can't hear what you're saying. He gets all bewildered. He runs around in circles. Oh my God, what's going to happen? What are they praying about? He just runs around like a scattered dog when we pray in the Holy Ghost. We need to pray more in the Holy Ghost. We need to pray more in the Spirit. We need to let God's Spirit pray through us, my brother and sister. His Spirit is in us so that He can pray for a lost, damned, and dying world, so that He can pray for our loved ones. But we don't acknowledge Him like we need to. We acknowledge our family. We acknowledge our jobs, but we don't acknowledge the Holy Spirit that's inside of us. It's quiet in here now. Isn't it amazing how God changes and redirects the service? Okay, Lord, I'm going to go. God's Spirit lives in us. We feed our flesh, but we don't feed His Spirit. And I'm just as guilty. And God wants us to feed our spirit with the Word of God, with prayer, with good Christian worship music. I've been getting up in the mornings and I would either watch the news or put it on 75. That's the Versus channel. Fishing comes on there and things like that. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's no sin in that. But lately I've been getting up, putting it on the worship channel, just letting worship music play as I get ready for work. And I'm telling you, there's a difference. My brother and sister, there's a difference when I get up and I get ready. I have more, when I have the worship channel on, I have more of an awareness of God in the house. And God is there, but when you begin to focus on God and the things of God, you have an awareness and an understanding that, wait a minute, God's right here with me. The Spirit of God is right here. And I'll be driving down the road and they'll be playing a song on the Joy FM, and they don't always play the best song, but they might play a song and it'll just touch my heart, and the Spirit of God will say, pray for this one or pray for that one or call this one and get onto that one. God does get onto His children. He gets onto me all the time. I must be a bad child. He gets onto me all the time. But you know what? I want the Spirit of God to convict me. You know why? David said, search me, O Lord, and see if there be any unclean way in me. Oh, how the children of God need to pray that every day. Why? Because it'll keep us on the straight and narrow. It'll keep us walking right. It'll keep us talking right. It'll keep us in the sheepfold, my brother and sister. He leaves the 99 and goes after the lost sheep. But why is that sheep lost? Is it because God's Spirit isn't able to keep that sheep? No. It's because that sheep saw greener pasture and thought the grass was greener on the other side. And when it got into the greener grass, greener pasture, the wolf grabbed him and tried to take him down and kill him. But God's Spirit came over because He used the shepherd and ran the wolf off. See, we've got to understand that God's Spirit's in us and it wants to raise up a standard. But it can't raise up a standard if we're not sensitive to the Spirit of God, or we're not allowing the Spirit of God to flow into our life. And to move. And to, when trouble comes, not to get all scatterbrained, not to get, and I know it's easier said than done. I know it's easier said than done. Not to get so scatterbrained, but to say, wait a minute. I have a Father. I have a God. He can take care of this situation. Well, Brother Sean, you just don't understand. No, I don't. But your Heavenly Father does. You don't have a high priest who hasn't been touched with the feeling of your infirmities, but you have one that's walked in a fleshly body, perfectly spotless, no sin in his life. And he knows what it's like to grieve. He knows what it's like to hurt. And that's why he wants to be there for you, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Oh, we serve a great God, my brother and sister. We serve a good and gracious God. We serve a wonderful Master. Proverbs 16:32 says this. He who is slow to anger. Boy, that's a tough one for me. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules his own spirit than he who takes a city. See, God wants us to rule our own spirit. God wants us to rule our flesh man. He doesn't want us to give in to the appetites of the flesh. But He wants us to buffet it. He wants us to bring it into subjection. He wants us to crucify it. You're not going to get this at the First Church. You're not going to get this in Tulsa, but you're going to get it right here tonight. Proverbs 18:14 says this. The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? See, it's important that we understand that our spirit, when we're feeding it and we're doing everything to it we need to do, It's strong. It's vibrant. It's quick to take action. It's quick to take up the battle. Why? Because God loves us and He knows how to pray through us to get an answer. See, we want to get God to answer us, but we don't necessarily want to go down the avenue that God's provided to get the answer. We try to go left turns and right turns because we have arrived and we're spiritual now and we know how to pray. But Paul said we don't always know how to pray. Our apostle, our great leader, said we don't always know how to pray, but the Spirit of God does. We can think we know how to pray, but we really don't, my brother and sister. We could get a phone call that somebody's been in a horrible accident, and we could pray a prayer, Lord, be with them, heal them, touch them, and that can be great. But when the Spirit of God takes over, something miraculous happens. You step into another realm. My brother and sister, when God's Spirit takes over, when God's Spirit takes up the battle and takes over the situation, you don't have to have any ingenuity, you don't have to have any thought process, and you don't have to do anything. All you've got to do is sit and let God be God and let His Spirit move and let His Spirit work. Our problem is, especially with men, is we want to be in control. We want to try to fix the situation, especially for those of us that are... I'm not a Mr. Fix-It, but there's people in the church that are Mr. Fix-It. I can fix things on cars, but when it comes to carpentry or woodwork or hanging shelves or anything like that, forget it. I got to pay somebody to do it. I'm not even going to attempt it. We can't fix it ourselves. There are some things we can't fix, but God can, and God's Spirit can. And we've got to allow God's Spirit to do His job. We don't give the Holy Spirit enough credit. We try to change people, and I've said it once, I'm going to say it again. You and I can't change anybody, but God can, and His Spirit can. God's Spirit knows how to get to our hard case loved ones. He knew how to get to us, didn't He? He knows how to get to our hard case loved ones. He knows just the right thing to do. The problem is sometimes we try to get our loved ones out of trouble when they need to sit in that trouble and they need to stew in that trouble so they can come to want like the prodigal. The prodigal didn't come home because everything was great and everything was glorious. But as soon as the prodigal got into trouble, as soon as the prodigal ran out of money, as soon as the prodigal was down there eating with the pigs and the swine, he said, my servants in my father's house eat better than this, are taken care of better than this. He was coming back to be a servant, not even be a son. But when he came back, his father said, get him a robe and put a ring on his finger. Why? Because that's his son that was lost and that is now found. See, his dad didn't go after him. His dad didn't try to persuade him. But something clicked in the young man when he's down there at the pig trough, eating with the pigs. Something resonated. What was it, Brother Sean? It was God's Spirit. Thank you for the amen. He didn't just come to. It was God's Spirit bringing back to him the remembrance of, you know, it was better at your father's house. And oh, we can turn our backs on God and we can try to go our own way. But God's Spirit knows and has a way of means to get our attention and to bring us back home. You can be saved going through something and He knows how to get your attention to get you back on the right road. You can step over to the left a little bit, but God's Spirit knows how to correct you. There are some people that can come and try to correct me and I'm not going to hear a word they say. Not a word. Somebody can come up to me that I ain't seen in I don't know how long and they can say one thing that I know they knew nothing about. Because it's God's Spirit talking through them to me, and I'll know that it was God. They won't know that it was God, but I'll know that it was God. What really gets me is when a sinner is shopping in my store, and I hear the Spirit of God speak through them to me. That's what really gets me. And I'll look at them with a bewilderment look and say, okay, I'll go in the cooler and say, all right, Lord, I shouldn't have had that bad attitude today. And it's just amazing. It's kind of like the donkey that spoke to the prophet. Thank you for the amen. It's the same scenario. God's Spirit will speak to you, my brother and sister. You just got to be willing to listen. He that hath an ear, not this ear, but this ear. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the church says, what the prophet says. No, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Why did you say prophet, Brother Sean? Because there are many false prophets that have gone out into the land. And not everyone that names the name of Christ is really of Christ. Thank you for the amens. There are people, there are wolves in sheep clothing as we speak. Jesus said they were going to be here. They serve a purpose. They serve a purpose. Why? Because those that are the Lord's, they know His voice. And a stranger they will not follow. But those that don't know God, and those that don't have the Spirit of God, he that hath not the Spirit hath not life, according to the Bible. But he that hath the Spirit hath life, and that more abundantly. See, it's important that we get into the Spirit of God. And see, we've got to be washed by the water, in the blood, in the Word. We've got to let this Word cleanse us, and we've got to allow His blood to cleanse us. I said blood in church, my brother and sister, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there was no resurrection. Without the shedding of blood, there was no Holy Spirit. Thank you for the amen. Jesus hadn't died and rose from the dead, we wouldn't have a Holy Ghost. But He did, and we do. And it's important that we understand that God's Spirit is ever making intercession for you and for me. That's an amazing thing, that God's Spirit intercedes for you and me. That's a wonderful, powerful thing. I got to go to Isaiah. Let God's Spirit do something in your heart and life that He wants to do. I can't do it. All I can do is tell you about how good His Spirit is and wave this T-bone in front of you so you want to come and let God's Spirit do the work inside of you and inside of me that He wants to do. Isaiah 11:2 says this, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord." Oh, that we would have that Spirit of reverential fear and obedience on every single one of us that are in this room and at the sound of my voice tonight. Why? Because we need to be obedient to God. If a man loves me, the Bible says, he'll keep my commandments. So it tells me if a person really loves God or not, is if they're keeping the commandments of God. Not the commandments of a man, not the commandments of me, but the commandments of this, what is written in Holy Writ. I didn't write this book, but Jesus did. And it's important that we follow everything that's written in it and we obey everything that's in it. Thank you for the amen. We've got too many hot shots who aren't hot shots. Thank you for the amen. I'm not saying there aren't people out there that aren't anointed, because there is. But what I am saying is this, is when somebody's anointed, they don't necessarily have to flaunt it. I'm so scared of trying to flaunt it. I get upset when my sister or my mom say things. Just let God say what He wants to say. Just let God do what He wants to do. God will take care of me. God will take care of every situation. I'm not here to pump myself up. I'm not here to promote myself. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm just here to promote Jesus and God's Spirit, and He'll take care of the rest. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2, verse 11. And if you don't turn there, that's okay, because I'm going to read it. "For what persons perceives, knows, and understands what passes..." Again, I'm reading through the Amplified. "What persons perceives, knows, and understands what passes through a man's thoughts except the man's own spirit within him? Just so no one discerns, comes to know, and comprehend the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God." Understand this, my brother and sister. We haven't received the Spirit of the world, But we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. We've received the Spirit. We've received the Holy Ghost. So we must yield to Him. See, that's the problem. We're not yielding to the Spirit of God. We're yielding to our kids. We're yielding to our husbands. We're yielding to our wives and to our jobs. But and it's not necessarily a sin. It's just the way life happens sometimes. But God wants us to take a step back and yield to the Spirit of God. So God can speak to us. So God can lead us. So God can correct us if need be. So He can establish us. God's not going to hurt us by leading us and getting on to us through His Spirit. But what He is going to do is He's going to keep us safe. The Spirit of God's like a safety net. Why? I know grace is a safety net. But see, God's Spirit's what convicts you. Grace is there when you fall, my brother and sister. But it's God's Spirit that convicts you so you don't have to fall. Do you hear what I'm saying? I know grace is there as a safety net. But you don't need the safety net if you're listening to the Spirit of God. It's going to be there because we have sins of omission and commission. But you don't need the safety net if you're following the Spirit of God and you're walking in the Spirit. You're not going to live perfectly. You're going to fall and you're going to stumble. You're going to get bad attitude. You're going to get mad at your husband. You're going to get mad at your wife. That's what grace.